Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to hit that subscribe button and a little notify bell next to it so you're always aware when there's new Going In Raw content.
Yeah.
We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson. Be sure to take a look, and we've got a lot of rewards there. We've got 35 people watching this particular live stream or this podcast in live stream form. We're going to be talking about NXT and 205 Live today. I'm sorry, the Zoe show today, because that's a thing.
Hmm.
So we're going to be talking about that today, and we do like a pre-show. Larson gets out his guitar. It annoys the crap out of me. He talks a lot about Gene Hackman, and then we move on with our day. We're also available at
you want me to get the guitar?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/ Going In Raw. Look at that shirt. Hey. Hey.
Hey.
You're not me.
You're not me.
You're not me.
That's what it says.
Guess who that is? Guess who we're impersonating? This is a loose, what is this, like a parody shirt that we did?
Kind of.
It's, I mean, actually, it's four people who want to parody Baron Corbin or salute him.
Yeah.
You know, it's got...
Or both.
It's got Slow Wolf on it. It's a Slow Wolf.
It could be a fox.
I think it's just a Slow Wolf, man. Anyways, that's where we're available. That's where we are. So 205 Live happened, Larson.
Yeah.
And
I watched it.
Enzo Amore buried the entire UK division, so that was awesome.
Well, I would say he buried.
Minus the champion and minus Trent Seven.
I would say he buried.
It was terrible.
It wasn't good.
205 Live is now facing an existential crisis, Larson. We're fans of 205 Live traditionally.
Yes, very much so.
But this Zoe show thing is runaway.
Here's the problem, though, is it's Enzo's ascent to the top of the 205 Live mountain has increased the show's ratings.
Massively.
But... at a serious cost, the quality of the actual show.
I know.
It,
that's why I say it's so. What?
Yes, I know.
What do you do?
You bring Neville back.
What? Well, that's a non-starter.
You give him anything he wants.
Yeah.
You give him anything he wants.
Yeah, but here's the problem. They risk. It's not like Neville, because we talked about this with the Austin Aries.
Yeah, yeah, it's thing. Not like his run, you know, boosted the ratings.
Austin Aries and Neville didn't do anything for the show. You bring Enzo Amore and there's a massive... It sucks because I understand they're going to go with what works. And Enzo Amore coming out of at the head of the show for 10 minutes...
Talking for 15 minutes.
And talking forever is working.
That boggles my mind.
It bums the crap. Now, ideally, they'd sacrifice the first 10 to 15 minutes to Enzo Amore so the next 45 minutes... can spotlight and perhaps elevate other wrestlers. I don't even get the idea that they're doing that, though.
Yeah, because, you know, for a while, the storylines going on the undercard of 205 Live were just as good, if not better, than the storylines at the top of the card, where the two competitors fighting for the belt were, you know, doing the storyline revolving that. But nowadays, it just seems like everything's kind of put on hold for Enzo.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, there's this stuff going on between Rich Swann, Cedric Alexander, and then Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher, where Kendrick and Gallagher are trying to kind of recruit Cedric Alexander. Interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't really know if they're dedicating the appropriate amount of time or energy to really develop that feud.
And then there's the Drew Gulak stuff.
Which is always good. It's always entertaining.
It's always really good, and I get the impression that front office likes it too and feels that it's going somewhere. I mean, the thing is, Drew Gulak can actually wrestle, and he's actually entertaining and funny.
Yeah.
And it's like, I understand that Enzo gives the crowd that little boost of adrenaline, and for whatever reason, here's the thing. I am actually really, really surprised that 205 Live has leapt as much as it has.
Did you shave this morning?
In the ratings.
You look a little more clean-shaven than usual.
I shaved yesterday. I don't shave
daily. Okay.
Not at that point in my... pubescent years yet.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You just look more fresh faced than usual.
I'm baby faced today.
Yeah.
I think I did yesterday. I like that you're paying attention to what I'm saying so much that you're just zoning out looking at my face.
Usually when someone's talking and I'm listening, I look at them.
You start looking at my face. Anyways, you're like, Steve looks really young today. I wonder how he does it.
Well, I didn't say you look young. I say you look clean shaven.
Okay. Anyways,
huge
difference. What was I talking about? I don't know. I was really so let me ask you, are you surprised? It's been a huge turnaround in the ratings, all just because of Enzo Amore?
Yeah, I didn't think Enzo had that much stroke.
I mean, it's weird.
Because, you know, we see the data, 205 Live going up in ratings, but then beyond when he comes out and does his, you know, hi, my name is Enzo Amore stuff, the crowd's into that, but once he gets in the ring and actually starts saying something, then it seems like people don't really care.
Right. Yeah, I know.
And then last night, there were two separate boring chants when he was going through his whole promo before he even brought out the United Kingdom division.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have him go out there and stammer on for 12 minutes every week.
Hold on a second. Are we missing something? You know, because you know who else has been around that literally, I think, week to week is reflected in the ratings? Kalisto. Is he some weird, like, does he have a massive fan base, maybe like, you know, in, I'm just going to say this, in South America, Mexico, something like that, Central America?
I don't know.
Does he have like a massive fan base that we just do not know?
I don't know.
About? I mean, because that's the only other common denominator. It's weird. I mean, you know, we can pin it on Enzo, though, and because he's been the flashiest one.
He has been the focal point, yeah.
But, I mean, he came out the first week he popped ratings, and then he started going back down, and then he started going back up again.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's absolutely mind-boggling. It's weird to me. It's a bummer, though, because I feel like it's just going to keep on being Enzo's the Cruiserweight show. This week especially, I think this week especially because he beat Tyler Bate clean. That, to me, was kind of a turning point. Like, oh, so they're not doing the Enzo can't wrestle thing anymore. They're doing the Enzo is a jerk.
He's actually a competent wrestler.
And he can actually, and it was actually comical to watch him try to keep up with Tyler Bate in the first place. Yeah. Tyler Bate had to completely dumb down his repertoire. And they still had Enzo go over clean.
Yeah.
Which was like, I don't know, like what's disgusting and horrifying all at the same time. It was like the most grotesque parts of like a Sam Raimi movie.
Yeah.
To me.
Just 2 hours of people vomiting into each other's mouths.
Right, yeah.
What is, like, Sam Raimi has this thing about vomiting into someone's mouth. I don't get it.
That really bugs you. No,
I mean, like, you know, it's auteurs. You look for hallmarks, you know, things that could, you know, stylistically or thematically that carry from movie to movie.
Kubrick, symmetry.
Yes, symmetrical shots, yes. Yeah. Stylistically, at least, that's a hallmark. Sure. But then Raimi, this is the shots of people vomiting into each other's mouth. Or to someone else's mouth, sorry. You can't really vomit to each other's mouth.
That's how I felt about this. Because I actually, I read about it on Twitter because I think I watched it like Tuesday night. Or Wednesday morning, something like that. And no, it was like Tuesday night. But I read about it on Twitter first. And somebody had said, hey, how do you feel about Enzo going over Tyler Bate clean? Like the former UK champion, Tyler Bate? Because it started, well, we'll kick it like, you know, the show started, Enzo comes out. And he brings out.
Well, he talks for 10 minutes first.
He talks for 10 minutes.
He runs down Manchester.
And like his voice starts getting so hoarse.
I know.
And it just keeps on going and keeps on going. And you just understand that it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
None of it is going anywhere.
His own body is telling him to be quiet at this point.
Yeah, exactly. So then the UK division, I'm sorry, the cruiserweights of the UK division, anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, Joseph Connors looks like he's bigger than 205.
No, I think they said when he came out, he was 189 or 190.
No,
something.
I looked it up. It said on Wikipedia, anyways, it says 196. Maybe he's just like, he could be like 6 feet, I guess.
Yeah.
But he looks, well, I mean, he looks like he's the same size as Cedric Alexander, maybe.
Yeah.
Just not as beefy. So they come out, you know, there's no Trent Seven, obviously. There's no Pete Dunne.
No Wolfgang,
obviously.
And Enzo's saying, why do you belong on the Zo train?
Yeah.
Like he's recruiting.
Right. He puts him in a line. The entire thing was very condescending in the first place.
Yes.
These are all like, these are bruiserweights, right? These are all the British badass hardcore guys. Why didn't they just surround him in the ring and start beating the crap out of him and take over the show? That would have been so much more entertaining.
Oh, I know.
You know? But instead, they all get in lockstep and the heels, you know, basically pay allegiance to Enzo.
Yeah, Jordan Devlin. James Drake, Tucker.
Yeah.
And then when Enzo got to Mark Andrews, he just ran him down.
Yeah.
And then he got to Tyler Bate.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler Bate wasn't, you know, pledging allegiance to Enzo in any way.
He was basically sort of, you know, whatever kind of thing. He was acting very condescending to Enzo. Enzo caught on. And Tyler Bate eventually just said, yeah, I have no desire to be on the Zo train. And then Enzo said, you could be my butler. He says, go get your shine box.
Yeah, thinking that, Goodfellas.
Yeah, thinking that he's Joe Pesci all of a sudden. And then Tyler Bate, which was the best part of the entire show, put up, what was it, Bam and Bip and Bam, something like that?
Something like
Bop
that.
And Bam. He put up one hand, and then he freaking clocked him with the other one. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that was good.
That was great. Enzo scurries away. The rest of the UK division is sort of like chuckling at him. And that set up a match later on in the night for Enzo Amore versus Tyler Bate.
Yes. As Enzo was kind of scurrying up the ramp, Kalisto's music hit. He walks down to have a match against Jack Gallagher, which is actually a pretty decent match. It was a good match.
Yeah, no, it was a good match. It was fine.
I kind of wish that Jack Gallagher would find a happy medium with his heel character, incorporating some of his like submission moves he used to use as a face, but incorporate him so they take on a little more air of like Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Be a little more, or even take it a step further like Minoru Suzuki.
You're obsessed with Suzuki.
Suzuki is awesome. That's why.
Should have stuck with Zack Sabre Jr. Because you know what? Everybody could stand and be a little bit more like Zack Sabre Jr.
That's truth right there.
Yeah, it is.
Just saying, just, you know, use these submission moves to hurt people.
Mm-hmm. No,
instead of just making it seem like it's an obvious rest hold.
Yeah, no, I
think
I agree.
Heel Gallagher just relies too much on striking.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's entertaining.
I agree with you completely. I think there's a heel way to do the stuff that the goofy stuff he was doing before.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree with
just
that.
It's less goofy, make it look more painful.
He sold Kalisto better than anybody else has been selling Kalisto. Some of Kalisto's offense looked a bit more crisp with Jack Gallagher. I'm thinking of the bit where he does the
Hurricane Rana in the ring and Gallagher hit face first.
Yeah, that looked really, really good.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't seen it like that since NXT.
Yeah, he sold really well for him.
Anyways, in the end, Kalisto went over with Salida del Sol. Hey, guess what happened next? An Enzo interview. More Enzo talking.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing now. Isn't it weird though? Like his punishment is he essentially gets his own hour long show.
I know.
That's weird. So
weird. I mean, like they say to him, yeah, you can't dress in the locker room with everybody else, but you get your own show.
You get your own show. You get to co-opt a show. Next up, we had a really fun match. Cedric Alexander and three of the lads from the UK division, Mark Andrews, teamed up with Cedric Alexander, and then they took on James Drake and Joseph Connors. This was a really fun match.
It was. It made me wish that Mark Andrews would join 205 Live.
It would be perfect.
On a full-time basis.
It would be absolutely perfect.
Because he's so good.
It would be great.
He picked up the win over Joseph Connors with the Shooting Star Press.
It really needs... I mean, I understand that they're in this seeming limbo in terms of what to do with the UK division, but you have four guys right now. I mean, you have more than that. You got even toss in Wolfgang. But Tyler Bate and Mark Andrews could add a absolutely needed amount of talent to 205 Live. On top of that, you bring in Rockstar Spud, if that's going to be the case.
Hideo Itami,
and then Johnny Gargano down the line, if he ever does his thing with Tommaso Ciampa. And then maybe even Tommaso Ciampa, but I still feel like he's a Raw guy. You bring in that infusion of talent, and you can basically, like, you know, have a lot of really cool stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
You still have Enzo there.
Yeah, I know.
You know, they need to like do another Cruiserweight. They can just redo a Cruiserweight show and just slowly they revamp 205 Live so it's like Enzo, you know, live.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do at this point.
Have one that's focused exclusively on wrestling and one just all Enzo.
Yeah, exactly. Just do that. And then figure out a way to get that one from breaking the top 20. anyways, this was a lot of fun. Mark Andrews got the pin on Joseph Connors with a Shooting Star Press, a very beautiful Shooting Star Press. He is... an amazing high flyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun to watch.
Next, main event, Tyler Bate versus Enzo Amore.
It was really difficult. watching Enzo Amore try to keep up with. You have to understand, this is, who was it, Tyler Bateman and Pete Dunne? They were the ones who put on like a match of the year candidate. Like certainly best match in the WWE this year was Tyler Bate.
That
or
Takeover
at
Chicago,
least one
yeah.
of them was, Takeover Chicago. Just a fantastic match.
And I'm sure Pete Dunne and Johnny Gargano put on a great match if we ever get to see it.
Oh, it'll be, I think that's going to be on the NXT. I think we're, because on the thing it said, it didn't say the only way to see this. It was the only way to see this live is at the event.
No, it said it will not be airing on the network. It said that in the article.
It explicitly said it yes. wasn't going to be airing on the,
yes.
really?
Yes.
All right. Well, you keep talking and I'm going to verify that.
Yeah, verify. That's what it said. So, I mean, Tyler Bate did what he could. Mm-hmm. And there were some fun spots beginning of the match where he was just wrestling circles around Enzo, and like at one point pointing at his thigh and Enzo grabbed it and he just countered it immediately.
The match will not air as part of that night's Takeover War Games special on the network, meaning those lucky NXT fans in attendance.
Yeah, they might put on YouTube or something, but it's not going to be
an exclusive opportunity to watch the title belt unfold live before their eyes. Doesn't say anything about not being on NXT the next week.
Entirely possible.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, continue, please.
Anyways. So the finish, Tyler Bates up on the top rope, top turnbuckle, gets kicked off or something. Kind of takes a nasty
that
spill.
That looked bad because yeah. it looked like the knee.
His foot got caught under the rope and he kind of got twisted up as he fell.
Yeah.
So, you know, at first, I didn't read anything about whether he actually got hurt or anything, but if they kind of rushed the finish, because the finish happened right after that.
Yeah.
If they rushed the finish, it would have made sense.
Yeah.
But then when Enzo did a rainmaker on him, he kind of did a full flip, which I don't expect someone to do if they got a bum knee.
Yeah.
Enzo hits eat defeat, picks up the win. Enzo attacks Tyler Bate after the match, and Kalisto comes out to make the save. Episode ends.
Yeah, that was a spotlight in the UK division. Their former champion had a job clean to Enzo. I was disgusted, dude.
I can tell.
It's so wrong, man. It's so wrong. But I guess you do what's best for business.
They're trying to establish Enzo as a competent wrestler.
Bad idea because he's not.
Oh, well, we know that.
Anyways, next up, let's talk about NXT.
Okay.
See, how you felt last week about NXT, I kind of felt this week about NXT.
Oh, really?
Was not into it.
Oh,
I'm
really?
I'm not going to say it was not. Really?
You I really enjoy the History of War Games segment. That was a blast.
That was, I'll be honest, and you're right. As I was watching that, in my mind, I was like, man, after this is done, I'm going to flip on an old War Games.
And here's the thing. Earlier in this episode or during this History of War Games segment, they replayed Regal's announcement, used different footage of the various participants, and then they cut to Undisputed Era, and it must have been right after Regal live said War Games, because Adam Cole does this.
War Games?
He said War Games.
That was great. That's awesome. That's fantastic. I think part of what got me down was immediately my least liked tag team.
I like Otis.
Maybe ever.
I like Otis.
I don't.
Otis has tons of personality.
Ugh, it's not anything that appeals to me at all.
Fine.
It's terrible.
I think their gimmick's way too literal. Take that out.
No, I think it can be more literal. I think if it was more literal, at least there was
you
like...
You want to come out with jackhammers?
There'd be something meta about it.
At WrestleMania, they roll out in a crane or a dump truck?
Yeah, absolutely. At least at that point, they're being really overly silly about it.
I feel like Tucker Knight tries a little too hard, but I like Otis.
I don't like either of them.
I think Otis in 2 or 3 years can be something. Otis is like super Hoss. He's like the most Hoss.
No, he's so short. Hoss need to be tall, dude.
Not necessarily.
What is Otis like, 4'11"?
I think Tucker Knight's supposed to be like 6'8".
He's tall. He's a tall guy.
So Otis is probably like
But again, 5'11". He just, to me, he looks exactly like Rick Bognar.
Yeah.
He looks like fake Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Okay.
And Otis, I'm sure, look, here's the thing. He looks like a sweet, they both look like sweet guys.
Otis is 5'10".
There you go. I don't mean to rag on them. I just, and it's not, I don't, it's not like I don't think they could do great things because I think they can. Like I could see if Big Damo never existed in this timeline, I could see Otis being that member of Sanity.
Yeah.
That'd be great. That'd be cool. I'm sure he could handle that.
Yeah.
Lots of natural charisma. He's too much. He just reminds me of the Tasmanian Devil from the freaking cartoons.
Oh, that's fine with me.
I don't like it, man.
That's fine. You don't have to like
lovable. It. I don't want lovable, dude. I don't want any of my wrestlers to be lovable. The only person I want to love in NXT is the Velveteen Dream.
Mm-hmm.
He's lovable.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Velveteen Dream. I was glad they didn't have him do the elbow either.
Heavy Machinery. Oh, I love his elbow, though.
No, I love it, but you know how I am. I want to protect my guy.
Yes, yes. Know? Heavy Machinery took on Chris Payne and Sean Maluta.
What a great name, Chris Payne.
And beat him with the compactor.
There is a spot that didn't even make sense. Sean Maluta went running at Otis while Otis was holding Chris Payne.
Yeah.
And he just knocked himself out.
Yeah.
And that led to the finish.
Yeah.
Why would you just run into somebody and knock yourself out? It's like bad AI in a video game. He glitched.
No, I think that was programming.
I don't know, man. I mean,
he's probably told to do that.
Yeah. Okay, now run through it. What's my motive? Why would I do that?
You're trying to help your partner.
By running straight into his back?
Yeah, that's right.
Am I supposed to be throwing a clothesline at
I mean, whatever Otis's? Seems right.
Okay, well, that seems right. You just want me to throw a clothesline?
Sure, if you have time.
Okay. What does that mean?
It means run at him. Is that clear?
I guess. I don't want to be...
Because the finish is right afterwards. So whatever you do, you got to fall right in the spot so you can eat the compactor.
I mean, I don't want to be released. Will this prevent me from being released?
Just do the spot.
Okay. Anyways, Heavy Machinery won with their stupid comp. I don't even like their finish. And here's the thing. I'm not alone because... And I was going to bring visual aids, but I just didn't. Because the crowd reaction was not into this. I don't think anybody's into this. You look at the crowd. You know how they always go for close-ups afterwards on the crowd? Some of the most underwhelming close-ups. I swear they got a close-up of a dude just on his phone.
You know, maybe it was like towards the end of the taping. They were just people were just tired of being there.
Could be. No, I don't think because the end of the taping, I think it was War Games, wasn't it? Was the announcement.
Oh, I don't know.
This is the beginning of the taping of the new tapings.
Could be. People are just getting warmed up, man. Anyways, after Heavy Machinery's dominant victory, Otis did the worm, though.
Oh, that was even worse.
Yeah, I'm not that cool with that. But
that is the lowest.
It's impressive that he could do it.
No, it isn't. That is the lowest form of audience pandering.
I can't do the worm.
I'm sure you could do the worm.
But I can't. Now.
Well, now. 10 years ago, you could.
Well, I probably could physically now. I just don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
But he knows how to do it.
Grosskreutz said this is the third hour of tapings.
So there you go.
Well, you know what? I doubt it would have been any different. Like, that isn't going to help the things and bring Heavy Machinery out. When is Paul going to realize... It's not working, Paul.
He likes Otis. He mentioned him in an interview he did with Sports Illustrated. He mentioned Otis and Aleister Black.
Not in the same manner, not in the same breath.
Not in the same breath, but it was under...
He probably likes Otis because he likes to pick on him and make fun of him and stuff.
I don't know why, but he mentioned him as someone that he really was high on.
Mm. That's weird.
Next, an Ember Moon interview. It's pretty brief. Christy St. Cloud brings up what Mercedes Martinez said the previous week. Mm-hmm. Ember said, meet me in the ring next week. They're going to have a match.
I don't believe her intensity. I don't think I ever will. She needs to be, you know what Ember Moon needs besides being a member of... Did I tell you what my new faction's going to be on Steve Books Raw?
No.
Dude Harper, Good Guy Eric, and Ember Moon.
Yeah, I know, right? I know all that.
They're all going to be like potheads, basically.
Yeah, that's old news.
They're going to be called True Buds.
Oh, that's good. That's a good name.
Because... Bud means marijuana.
Yeah, I understand that.
And they all have, I think Dude Harper has, a Bob Marley shirt on.
I feel like you're going to center your entire thing around that faction.
No, they job out in the first episode.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I'm still figuring everything out.
Sounds that way.
Yeah.
I mean, because if I had a faction that was that impressive with name that good,
yeah.
Centerpiece.
Yeah. You want to collaborate on it? No.
Wait, it's on your channel?
Well, that's up for negotiation.
We'll see.
Here is my idea. No, we'll talk about it later.
Save it for the post show.
There you go.
Next, Kairi Sane took on Billy Kay. Of course, this was set up last week.
Because I think it's a good idea. Go ahead. Kairi Sane took on Billy Kay.
Yeah.
Not huge on pirate gimmicks either, but I love Kairi Sane.
Okay.
I think she's great. Billy Kay, I love. I love her and Peyton Royce.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
They are so funny. I would like to hang out with them at a restaurant somewhere and just listen to them talk because they're hilarious.
They are.
And I love that Billy Kay has somehow been able to inject her weird when she does humor with Peyton Royce when they're talking and stuff. Sometimes she does a face, and it reminds me of Mike Myers doing Austin Powers, which movies are so incredibly dated these days, but that was funny. Like, he's funny when he does that stuff. She reminds me of that a little bit, and which really tickles me. The fact that she's been able to inject that type of humor into her elegant, original kind of gimmick thing.
I know, it's been kind of quite the evolution from when she debuted in NXT, had that one appearance on SmackDown
like
a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And they gave her more of a spotlight and turned her heel. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, it's been just a steady evolution.
Yeah. I love it, though. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah, it's been great.
Anyways, Kairi Sane goes over with the insane elbow. Both, I mean, obviously, Kairi Sane's a great wrestler. Billy Kay's a really good wrestler, too. And I like that Billy Kay, like, even her sort of heel style of wrestling has changed a bit. She's not as graceful in the ring, I think, on purpose.
Yes.
You know? And I think it's great. Next up, we had William Regal backstage.
This is the whole show. This was great. Cassius Ohno rolls into Regal's office wearing the most incredible Cesaro shirt I think we will ever see.
So I actually think I've seen this shirt at mall kiosks because you can just get shirts that have like pre-printed stuff and they'll just put whatever you want on it. And so I'm pretty sure Cassius Ohno got this shirt from a mall kiosk because it's got like all sorts of American, very pro patriotic American stuff on it.
Like a bald eagle.
Iconography on it.
Yes.
And like a bald eagle, American flag, the maybe Mount Rushmore,
something
mountain,
like
stuff
that.
Yeah. Very cheesy.
And then right here.
Honestly, something you'd see in this neck of the woods.
Right here, just says Cesaro. Cesaro's logo. So it seems like, he had that printed on a mall shirt.
Oh, God.
And it was spectacular.
That's so great. And nobody said anything about it.
I know.
Regal didn't acknowledge it or anything.
Like, why are you wearing a shirt of your former tag team
partner? Excuse me. Anyways, Cassius Ohno said he wants a match.
He said, now that I've won a couple matches.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's time for me to throw my hat back into the
and
mix
he says
for the,
it in the most
championship.
Laid-back style.
Yeah, he just seems like a chill dude, man.
He might have to switch from the Shield in Steve Books Raw to the True Buds. He feels like it's a True Bud.
He does feel like a True Bud.
We got to collaborate on this.
Anyways,
I have a really good idea for this.
Cassius Ohno wants a piece of Lars Sullivan. He gets it at TakeOver.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that match is telecast
Cassius
at TakeOver. United Kingdom title isn't.
Regal said, I appreciate, he says, I know how hard you hit. You have your match. Regal seems so tickled by. I think everybody's tickled by Cassius Ohno.
Oh, yeah, he's great. Next, History of War Games. This is outstanding.
We had Arn talking about it.
Dustin
talking. Wait, who?
Dustin Rhodes.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant Chuck Taylor.
Oh, no. he was doing an interview and is being the elite character.
Right. I still have to watch that. I'm really geeked. Like, sometimes I just like to wait for the weekend to watch stuff that I really want to watch, you know? Anyway,
so that was really good. If you missed that or fast forward through it thinking it was fluff, check it out. It was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
After that, we had Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega interview.
I love these two, man.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, these are great.
And she was saying that, you know, essentially we gave McIntyre what he wanted. We came out for a face-to-face meeting. He just didn't turn around fast enough.
Yeah. It was good, man. I love these two. And then, what's his face? Cien Almas said something in Spanish, I think. Did he speak in Spanish or just English this time?
I remember English.
I couldn't tell. I don't know. He's a very dapper-looking guy.
He is.
Yeah. So anyways, give me some odds against McIntyre.
Oh, 2%.
2%, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Almas isn't winning.
That's even high, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 1% too
much.
Well,
2% is either injury or botched finish.
Oh, botched finish. That's right. Well, every match has a 5% botched finish, so it's like 6%.
So it'd be 7%.
Yes.
5% for botched finish, 2% for injury.
Exactly. Anyways.
Next, Ruby Riott press conference. She was back in the trainer's area getting some
couple of iPhones
done.
Out. They didn't even bust out the H4Ns.
Zoom, I know.
Yeah.
Getting some diagnosis and treatment on her ankle, which was injured by Sonya Deville.
They showed footage of that.
Sonya Deville comes to the trainer's room and says, you should have tapped out. Or you should have tapped out. Sorry.
Dude, it was like this. Hold on.
Yeah, go stand over there.
It was like this.
And she said, Sonya Deville.
Hey, Ruby. You should have tapped out. Hold on. No, put the mic right here. Because you can barely hear. Hey, Ruby. Should have tapped out.
Which was, you know what was interesting? Is that Sonya Deville said, you took the coward's way out.
You took the coward's way out. You didn't tap out. You
fought and got to the ropes, which seems like the opposite of the coward's way out.
I know, right?
Giving up.
I know.
seems more cowardly than fighting.
Ruby.
She said, I should have broke your ankle instead.
Should have broke your ankle, but you took the coward's way out instead.
And then Ruby says, let's have a fight when I'm healthy.
Okay.
It's very awkward.
It was.
But see, hey, you know what? Kudos to Sonya Deville. I think she's trying.
She is.
I think she's trying to make, I think she's making the most. She's making the most of her opportunities.
Once she can, you know, make the transition to being completely convincing with her promo work,
mm-hmm.
she'll be fine.
Yeah.
She's almost there. I feel like there's times in this where if there's just a little bit more nudge,
mm-hmm.
it would have been a bit more convincing. Maybe yeah. if she was mic'd properly, it would have helped.
No, I agree. I know.
Like the framing of the shot was,
you know,
she's way back in the back of the room and Ruby's in the foreground. It makes Ruby already seem like dominant.
Yeah. I know. And she just sort of hovers in. It's funny you mentioned the mic thing because you're right. She needed to be mic'd. And I feel like Zelina Vega and Cian Almas, they needed some laughs on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he's talking and it's echoey, they need to let him simmer talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of like yell talk.
Yeah.
Because when he does that, the mics just pick up like echoey and it sounds amateurish. It's hard to be, you know, you can watch a movie, right? And you're on a long shot, which is when like the dude is like the camera's far away from the dude.
Yeah.
Right?
The actors in the frame.
Right. Exactly.
Smaller. Yeah.
But if they have a mic, like basically right here, you can talk just like this
yeah.
and be very
menacing.
Well, also
a movie, you know? If it's a long shot, you know, it's in their mouth. You can go back and ADR it.
Right now, exactly.
But
you can do it as menacingly, because, you know, when you talk like this, you know, very menacingly.
Yes.
Not just like, yeah, I'm going to beat him up. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, you force someone to project when it might not seem appropriate or natural.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Filmmaking people.
Yes. Next, Street Profits promo. Great.
Mm-hmm.
So they're hanging out at a Full Sail Live. They give some guy who's just walking around one of their cups.
Yeah.
Someone else walks in carrying some dry cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And they
stop
say,
him.
Yeah, say, hold on. What's this about? And the guy says, well, this is some dry cleaning for Tino Sabatelli.
Mm-hmm.
And then Montez Ford says, oh, I'm Tino Sabatelli.
And Angelo Dawkins says, I don't know you're Italian. And Angelo Dawkins, here's the thing. A lot of people, like, as soon as they debuted, a couple people on the Twitters said that, well, Angelo is the Marty Jannetty of the two. Angelo is so funny.
Yeah, he is.
That I don't see that happening necessarily. Montez is a stud completely, and he's fantastic. But Angelo's reactions, and you can tell that he's not just looking to say lines. He's trying to react naturally
yes.
to what's being said and respond in a clever manner, and he's been able to do
yes,
that.
Yes, he has.
And it's really good.
So,
they make a really good team.
They do. So they unzip the bag. It's a suit, a fancy suit,
mm-hmm.
and they're admiring it.
Yeah.
In walk Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss, and mm-hmm. they talk about, well, Riddick Moss always says stuff that's obviously Tino's.
Because he's rich.
Is ours. So
yeah.
he says, hey, don't mess with our suit.
Don't mess with our suit.
And then they're talking about having a match, and then Montez Ford says, yeah, put the date in your Palm Pilot. Which killed me. That was great.
That was good, too.
That was
really good. And then at the end, Angelo Dawkins says, $5,000 at the men's warehouse. That doesn't exist. More like $5. $5,000 at the men's warehouse.
Those guys are great.
Oh, it's fantastic. No, I love the Street Profits. And then we had, I mean, who doesn't love this main event right here? Roderick Strong versus Adam Cole. Bay.
Yeah, it's a fun match.
Yeah. No, this is cool. Adam Cole, it's weird. It's hard to pinpoint exactly what Adam Cole's strengths are, but I guess it's storytelling. Roderick Strong is so good.
Yeah, he is.
Roderick Strong is, like, to me, like a top five selling guy.
I know.
You know? Because, like, I always feel, I mentioned this in the Drew McIntyre match, I think. I always just get the feeling that, man, he is getting his butt whooped.
I know.
He does such a good job of making it look real, you know?
Well, I think it's not only selling when he is getting hit or, you know, moves put on him. He's selling his own offense really well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Adam Cole's a decent storyteller. I think his foremost strength is his mic work, and yet we really haven't got to see much of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not the most athletic guy.
Right, yeah.
But he's athletic enough.
Yeah.
That he, you know, he was able to hang with Roderick Strong perfectly fine, and points
yeah.
to this match, it was relatively fast-paced.
Hey, how'd you like that finish?
That was cool.
That was I had not seen that before. Roderick Strong tried to, chokeslam Adam Cole on the top turnbuckle or something
He did a backbreaker on top
yeah.
of the top turnbuckle.
Oh, that was
yeah.
fantastic.
That was great.
That was so great.
And then that...
What'd you think of Adam Cole's last shot? It was a half-assed one, right?
I don't think he got him up. Like,
he didn't get
vertical
him
up enough.
Yeah. He got him like halfway, and I was like, wait, are they going to have him do that for safety reasons, or if that was that just part of the story?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I think it was just kind of he just didn't get him up all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, after Strong did the backbreaker across the top turnbuckle, Adam Cole, out comes Undisputed Era. Ref calls for the bell. Roderick Strong wins by DQ. Shortly thereafter, Authors of Pain come to the ring, and then Sanity is soon to follow. Everybody brawls.
So the
crazy stuff happens. Alexander Wolf does like a plancha over the top rope over a bunch of people. The segment culminates, ends with Roderick Strong superplexing Adam Cole onto everybody else who's out on the floor.
Yeah.
It was cool.
It was really cool.
Mayhem, chaos. Only Adam one cool. structure can contain that level of
war
chaos.
War games.
And violence.
It's war games.
Yeah, so that should be a fun match. I'm looking forward to it.
No, it'd be great. Very much looking forward to it. Shall we answer questions?
Certainly. CM Punk, Fies Insulting. What are the logistics of setting up for the war game match? Are there two rings the whole night? Is the second ring suspended above the ring with the cage until the war games match? How are they going to do this exactly? In the past, it's just been two rings the whole night.
Yeah.
That's how they've done it.
Stands the reason they do the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it has a good visual. But, like, the matches aren't going to act like all the other matches aren't going to actually take place over two rings.
No.
They're going to be confined to one ring. It's just the other ring is going to be chilling there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although I wouldn't be surprised to see action spill out to the second ring throughout the night.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, it's there. You might as well take advantage of it if it, you know,
might as storytelling. Well. Alex C., if you can bring one. Oh, Alex C. also mentioned in chat that Angelo and the Street Profits feel more like Matt and Jeff than Marty and Sean. I agree with that. Because I can see Angelo Dawkins doing like a Matt Hardy thing because he's not as athletic. He has to rely on character stuff.
Yeah.
Alex C., if you could bring one mid-level indie guy to NXT to refine and send one mid-card NXT talent to the indies to get some reps, who goes where?
I'd send Jeff Cobb to NXT. Hopefully work on his mic skills.
Okay.
In the ring, he's great.
Oh, he is fantastic.
I don't know about, you know, in terms of mic skills, where he stands. So send NXT to work on his promos, because if he can project an awesome character and do some decent mic work, he can go far.
Yeah, no, totally. One mid-card NXT talent to get some more reps. Tucker Knight.
Yeah. I was trying to think of guys who are more developmental that could use some seasoning on the indies.
You know, I'll say this. We saw him this week. Cesar Bononi.
Yeah, I thought him too.
Because I think he can go along. You know, sometimes you need like a bunch of different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of different places.
He needs to go on excursion.
Excursion, yes. He is currently a young lion.
Larson, sorry to interrupt you, champion. Dylan Superkick Scribner. That's a lot. With war games right around the corner, each of you book a fantasy war games match with three factions from any era.
Three factions from any era. I'm going to go Freebirds. Some of them might have been involved in War Games match. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can see Michael Hayes in War Games match. I'm going to say Freebirds, New Day.
Remember, three-man teams.
And original NWO.
Okay. I'll say original NWO.
Okay.
So that's Hogan, Nash, and Hall.
Correct.
Original DX, HBK, Triple H, and China.
Ooh, very good.
And then original Bullet Club.
Oh, good.
Devitt, Anderson, and Tama Tonga.
Oh, I like it. Okay. Gallows wasn't in original Bullet Club?
I don't think so.
Really? Okay, cool. Right on.
Or at least those three of original Bullet Club.
All right, I like it. I like it a lot. Very good. Let's see here. Son of a farmer, Mitchell Elam. Do you think Tyler Bate has any chance to be a main roster star?
I mean, yeah.
He's very young.
He's 20 years old.
Yeah.
But even keeping that in mind, he's incredibly gifted in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
He's got charisma.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen, especially some YouTube videos of him with British Strong Style, he can talk.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So he's got all the tools. Yeah. It's just finding something within WWE's structure that works.
Mm-hmm.
But totally, yeah, he could be.
Yeah, absolutely. Brock without the K. Lesnar, why can Heavy Machinery use their finisher, yet Authors of Pain can't powerbomb two people onto each other?
They did it last week. Oh, wait, no, powerbomb one person on top of the other one?
Yeah.
I think just because someone got hurt.
Yeah, because there was that time that heads got knocked or a knee
someone's
got knocked
elbow
in the head
got,
or something. Yeah.
Sent into Anthony Bowen's head.
Yeah, it's clunky. Too clunky. Jack Dolan, Steve and Larson are in a team in a War Games match. Which
team, we are a team.
Which team or teams? Oh, are a team. Yeah, sorry. Which team or teams are you facing in there to settle it once and for all? Well, first of all, who's our third?
Hilton.
Oh, God. Okay. And who are you facing in there to settle it once and for all?
Original NWO.
And the Elite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Elite. That's good. Beardless bludgeon brother Lonnie Eaton. When the time comes, and it shouldn't be anytime soon, but who do you think Aleister Black first main roster feud should be against? He wants to see him against Samoa Joe.
Yes.
That would be good. I kind of feel like Aleister Black, Finn Balor is money.
Yeah. That I agree with that. I think it's a good one.
Another one from CM Punk finds it insulting. Where would Cassius Ohno be if he was the third member of the Shield like originally planned? Well, I mean, that was what CM Punk had planned.
Yeah.
I don't think WWE ever had that in mind.
If they were to get that through, if for somehow CM Punk was like, no, I'll convince you, Vince, and he did, fine. Cassius Ohno's in. I mean, he wouldn't be in the Roman Reigns path,
no.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and who knows if Roman Reigns would be in the Roman Reigns path.
Yeah. Trying to think of somebody who we could swap him out with.
Roman?
No, Cassius Ohno.
Okay.
Because the question is, where would Cassius Ohno be?
Yeah.
He would be about to fight Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series.
Mm-mm.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Connor, say yeah, O'Farrell.
Oh, I thought you were going to give an answer.
No, I can't think of anything right now. Hey, friend, it was a bit of a weird hypothetical question. Say WWE were going to do a meta angle where Vince wasn't the real owner and was just being a figurehead, similar to how Jack Tunney actually was during the 80s, where I think he was president of WWF. Who would you like to see as the kayfabe real owner of WWE for behind the scenes? He would pick Baron Corbin.
Okay. That's funny.
So Vince doesn't own the company.
Yeah.
Kayfabe wise. Someone else does. And he's just.
Okay. Gotcha.
Like the prime minister.
Bobby Roode.
Okay.
That's good. Because he was like the ultimate in this is my NXT. He actually, I mean, they never followed up on it, but he actually laid out a vision for what he wanted it to be.
He did.
CEOs in suits.
Yeah.
That was essentially it. And probably like sponsors. It'd be Bobby Roode. President Bobby Roode. Arn Anderson. He saved up over the years.
Saved his pennies.
He saved his pennies over the years.
Stone Cold.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good. X-Pac.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That'd be good.
Chalupa Batman. Hey, friendos. Am I the only one that would rather have seen British Strong Style versus...
No, I wanted that too.
Yeah, War Games. It could have been a real faction war instead of throwing Roddy with Authors of Pain. It's because there's going to be some funny business probably going on.
I agree with that. It should have been a 12-man match, War Games. Come on. You got two rings and a steel cage.
I know.
It would have been awesome. So many people. Yes, it should have been British Strong Style. I don't think...
Don't work yourself up into a lather, Steve.
So annoying. You have three people.
Read the next question.
Nemo?
Richard Lee Breslin. New pledge patron, longtime watcher. Thank you very much. What?
Nemo, is it just me or does Otis from Heavy Machinery remind you of Chris Farley? Yeah, kind of. Maybe that's why I don't take him seriously. Continue. Sorry.
Richard Breslin. There has been a lot of hype surrounding Adam Cole, Bay Bay, and rightfully so. Usually when an NXT superstar gets a call up to Maine, it's sometimes here when the ball is dropped. But it's not very often, it seems, that the ball is dropped in NXT. What do you believe needs to be done to not only elevate Adam Cole up to NXT championship level, but also to ensure he has success on the main roster? P.S. Thank you for the great work, and I miss Neville. I miss Neville, too.
Put him on the mic.
Yeah, they need to have him talk.
Yeah.
Like what Enzo does, have Adam Cole do that, because he's actually entertaining on the mic.
Yeah, I know.
Story time with Adam Cole.
Story time with Adam Cole, baby.
Bring that back.
Pretty Boy Alley. My question involves Matt Riddle. What would his ceiling be in WWE? Power rank the top five stars you'd want him to feud with, and if you would want him to be a face or heel. I want him to be a face.
Yeah.
because that's kind of all I've known him as.
Yeah, people chant bro.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah. What's the ceiling, dude?
I don't know what his mic skills were like. He's fun in the ring.
Yeah.
He's got tons of charisma.
He's very young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's very young to the sport. I think he's in his early 30s.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, it looks like he's 13.
I know. So depending on what his mic skills are like, mm-hmm. I think he could go pretty far.
Yeah.
Because he's only been wrestling for 3 or 4 years, and he's already pretty good.
Yeah. Holy crap, he's old. Oh, he's 31.
He's
not old, sorry.
So I think, yeah, I think the sky's the limit for him. The sky is the limit for him. Who do we want him to see him wrestle? Samoa Joe?
You know what I'm going to say is about Matt Riddle. I would say Miz is his ceiling, which is a great ceiling.
Yeah.
It's a really good ceiling. By the time he's in there for a while, but the problem is Miz got started when he was way younger.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Riddle's a better wrestler than Miz is right now.
Oh, by far, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's going to take, my thing about Miz is that it took him, I mean, Miz is, the appeal right now with Miz is that he's been around so long and his mic skills have gotten so good. But I could see him as being a really, really strong upper mid card.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I could see him dabbling in the main event scene.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'd believe it. I'm not going to say I couldn't see it, but I can't really see it until I see it.
A lot would depend on his mic skills, I think, too.
I agree with that completely.
Because he's got everything else.
Mm-hmm. Milling about champion Victor Vaughn. Do you guys think Creative made a mistake with the Undisputed Era's logo? It seems like a dead giveaway that no one else will join them when their logo is initials.
Well, it's like a closed logo, too.
Yeah.
There's no way you can put an S in there.
Right, right.
Unless you just tack it on the end.
I'm going to say no, because you can just change it.
Yeah.
I feel like so much of what they have right now are placeholders anyways, because I think they're going to look completely different 2 months from now.
Yeah. Dijak will probably be involved.
I think Roderick Strong and Donovan Dijak are going to be in the... I think it's going to be like a really, really strong...
I would be surprised if Donovan Dijak makes an appearance at War Games.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a really, really strong five-man crew. I think that's how they're going to roll. Daryl the Cat Takahashi. What's more boring? A Kalisto segment or Bayley, This Is Your Life? A Kalisto segment.
Yeah.
At least with Bayley, This Is Your Life, you're sitting there like, oh, this is really bad. You start thinking about how bad it is. You start thinking about how this ever got onto TV.
I know.
With Kalisto, you get it on a weekly basis, and you just know that it's going to be, okay, well, I'm never going to get these 3 minutes back.
Tweener Jack. Hey, friendos, can you give me a kayfabe reason as to why all the United Kingdom guys were on 205 Live? That is not because it was filmed in the United Kingdom, and then convinced of the whole situation. Well, the kayfabe reason is they're all under 205 pounds.
Yeah. So in my mind, you want kayfabe, they're at Gorilla every week on 205 Live.
Yeah.
Everybody in the WWE on main roster that is under 205 pounds is at Gorilla waiting during 205 Live. That includes Finn Balor.
Yeah.
You know,
Dolph.
Dolph, we don't have anything for you this week.
So you're fine on Raw, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't have anything for you. You don't have to make the trip. You're good.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's see here. Oh. The Elite Norwegian. Power rank. The next 6-star matchup.
Okada Naito.
That's the most likely one, right? I don't think Omega Jericho is going to get more than... Four and three quarters.
The junior heavyweight fatal four-way.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
AJ Nakamura, if they let that happen at Mania.
There you go. That's a possibility. That's a potential. It's a bummer. I thought Jinder Brock was going to be 5.5 stars.
Oh, they'd break the scale.
Yeah.
First 7-star match.
8.5.
Oof.
8.75.
Oof.
Yeah. Anyways, I think that's it.
That's it.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. all right. Hold on a second. This one is asking this. Robert Haynes asks everybody, please upvote. I want to hear their thoughts on it. That's a very, this is a question that he really wants to hear.
I think some responses got put in the, that question you just asked?
This question right here. No, this next one. I'm going to read this last one here.
Oh, sorry.
This last one here. He says, I came up with, this is kind of long. But we're at the end of the show. Who cares? I came up with my own kind of Big Four pay-per-view. I like it already.
Yeah.
it would be called the Deadly Games.
Ooh, like Survivor Series 98.
Reference to 98. And the build would be a tournament for both brands to where the main and undercard champion would face at the beginning of the show and losers would be stripped of the title by any way, including DQ or count out. And at the end of the night, the winning champions will face the tournament winners for the vacated titles. What do you guys think and tell me your own Big Four type pay-per-view with a concept that never got its own pay-per-view named after it? So everybody who has a title will be stripped of their titles.
Well, if they lose that qualifying match, it sounds like.
All right. And then they'd get to fight it at the end.
It sounds like it's a bit busy.
It's a very complicated idea, Robert Haynes. But I like complicated. I like ambitious thinking.
I like creative thinking, yes.
Exactly.
But what show idea or match idea could be
its own pay-per-view? That's a good idea. Big Four pay-per-view.
Beat the Clock Challenge.
It's all Beat the Clock Challenges?
Yeah.
You love that shit. Beat the Clock Challenge. Oh, man. That's good. I like that. Beat the Clock Challenge.
Yeah, top that. Brawl for All.
Bra and Panties Match.
Oh, dear.
Hold on. I can think of one more.
Tag Team Turmoil.
Hold on a second. He says your own big type four pay-per-view. So like Survivor Series 98 was Deadly Games.
Yeah, the tournament.
What's another subtitle for? Ooh, how about this? Its own pay-per-view, The Ultimate Thrill Ride.
Okay.
Right.
Survivor Series 2018. Beat the Clock.
I don't think that was ever a thing, man. Anyways, that's it for the show. Here's some outro music for you.
I think outro music for you.
No, put that away. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.